Fine.
He
Let's
hidden.
record.
He hits record. He hits share sound. He
How
hits
fast can he do it,
share
though?
screen. I don't know. We'll find out.
Not fast enough.
Bring me everyone.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone Racers.
It's a show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture.
It doesn't matter what kind of limichamp
or lucky track dog league you run.
SCCA or NASA, we won't discriminate.
As long as you drive it hard and built it yourself.
Join us each week for tech discussions,
tips, tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur endurance racing.
And whether it's on the spot,
hella sweet,
or we're lucky enough,
Chrissy,
I give you just the tip.
We're sure you'll giggle a little
and learn even less.
Everyone report to the paddock.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
And I'm Mental. And welcome to Everyone Racers. We are here for a Maserati episode of our podcast. It is episode 334. The Maserati GLB 334 claims to be the fastest sedan in the world with a top speed of 208 miles an hour or 334 kilometers per hour, hence the name. They are only going to make 103 of the Ferrari-powered Altimas painted Bleu de Perza, which is, I guess, a unique color of blue. The 3.8-liter twin-turbo Ferrari makes 572 horsepower at 6,750 RPM and 538 foot-pounds. It is a fitting farewell as the Ghibli 334 Ultima and its cousin, the Levante Ultima, are the last Maseratis to be made with a V8.
Wow.
And you know what is incredibly cheap as a used car is a Maserati Ghibli.
Yes.
Like used, 2017s yes. with 50,000 miles are like 18 grand. Like used Corolla money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was gonna say you could have a Corolla or a Maserati
for a 7-year-old Maserati. That
I think Mental and I were kicking around the idea of a couple of those down in the Vegas area for a Lemons car. Yeah, we talked about that, and I think maybe a year or two we'll make that a priority.
It is astounding.
There's a running one saved in my Facebook Marketplace with transmission problems. $5,000 right now.
Well, the Quattroportes with that like automated manual, those are all broken, all of them, every single one. And eventually they made them with an auto, and that was like okay, it was just a ZF auto. But the Ghiblis, they're depreciating like a used condom. It's terrible.
Or is it awesome? Because
that was why
Corey and I were talking. We're only going to take two drivers because it's not going to make it until lunch on Saturday.
But, like the T-Drive, you take bets on how long it's going to last, how many laps it's going to take.
Absolutely. And it'll be immediately how you decide who's been doing Lemons for a while, because all the newbies, you'd be like, $500, bye. And all the old teams would be like, you idiot.
Yeah. At the snack shack by lunch, right? Whindaburger. Yeah. Packing up.
Absolutely. So we're talking about working on, in the future, bad Italian cars that are depreciating, as Chris said, like a used condom, which is a fantastic segue into what you're working on. We'll start with Chris, because he's at the top.
Sure. Got the Civic as finished as it's going to be now. Like it is as race ready as a car can be 4 months away from a race. Like we can't do things like bleed, flush the brake fluid out because why bother? And you know, put the new tires on it because it's just going to sit there in the cold. So
no flat spot.
Right. So it's done otherwise. Like it's kind of weird. Civic's ready. Yeah.
And it's not coming out to pit. This is race ready for
Jersey in June. So, but like it's ready. It's kind of weird. It's
an afternoon of light maintenance away from ready to race. Yes. It's a good way to
this
be.
This is a Friday testing day, which when it's not going to test anyway kind of day.
It's the same race ready the Mazda is right now. It's yep, still got to flush the green coolant out and, you know, do the brakes and the tires, but that's it. Oh, okay. Wow.
Unsettling.
Long time coming.
It's just, yeah. It. Your Friday night, you're like, I have to be missing something.
No, it's just been a long time coming in that car. I mean,
he has been working hard on it every night.
Well,
lots of weekends.
A couple years, like a bit here, a bit there, a bit here, a bit there.
I feel like you could say we, Chrissy. You've got a lot of blood in that, rolling around in that car.
Hey, mentally even stripped one of the rear brake lines and left a nice note on the car about it. So, you know, we've all worked on it a little bit. So that's
to,
all good.
To be clear to our listeners, I did that while they were there. It's not like I snuck in their house,
also
stripped the brake line and left a note.
Also, to be clear, there's not a lot of blood. Actual blood in the car. Just saying.
No, it looks.
There's
really
always
nice.
A little it looks, though.
No, nope. Yeah, it's very, very white.
Way, way too nice. But so the finishing up, I had to do some underbody protection, like ducting and like holding things together, just so that it won't fall apart. Wired the cool shirt, whole cool shirt system in. Put a spare switch in, even because I don't know. You always need a switch somewhere, so we got a switch. Does nothing for now.
That's how you turn on the party rock tunes.
Yeah, well, that's what we used it for in the Mazda. Eventually, yes. It turns the amp on. And then we swapped the cars around here, and holy crap, I'm working on the MG.
Yay!
Right? I found some paperwork in the trunk. The last time I worked on it was 2017. So, and I've even left some tools in it, and it's like, well, that's where those went. Okay, got it. I thought
it was in the garage last year, so it got really close to the house. It just didn't get a whole lot of active work on it.
No.
All right. So, where it's going to get, once it's fixed, get sold, or are you still working on?
We're a long way from that. Yes.
The extent I've done is figure out what I have, take all the parts out, vacuum it up, clean it out. And actually, I took it out into the driveway the other night and hooked up a hot water from my bathroom sink to the pressure washer and did a hot water pressure wash of everything, including the underside, try to get, you know, 40 years worth of British oil leaking and dirt and stuff off of it. And it surprisingly worked pretty well.
It's going to rust in like 3 days now.
Yeah, exactly. Those things that are holding hands underneath it. Right. So I've made a nice little list of all the things it needs and I got to order some parts up, but I actually can work on it now, which is amazing. So we're going to see what we can do.
Yay!
Mantle, what are you up to?
We'll talk about it later. Just got in from Thunderhill and then as a result, drove to and back from Thunderhill with a local friend of ours, Mike Myers, a.k.a. Buddha, fan of the show. So he'll listen to this. Shout out to Buddha. Thanks for coming out with us. And then Monday, while Buddha had to work, the infamous proprietor of the Vannonball, Zach Codwell, was here in Las Vegas. We got to hang out with him. He took me and my wife out to a lovely steak dinner at Oscars. And we hung out with him, ran him to the airport. And then it has just been work. And we're still kind of purging through a lot of the things we had in storage. I finally came across the box of military crap that I've been carrying around, awards and medals and like literally the actual little plastic case with the medals in them. And I normally throwing things away. It's very, you know, relaxing and fulfilling. This caused me a great deal of stress. And I have a stack of these plastic blue folders with every medal that I've ever been presented over a 25 year military career. And I could not bring myself to throw them away. And I went into work and I talked to the other retired guys and they're like, dude, pitch those like 3 months after I was out. Why are you still holding on to them? So I'm working.
Isn't there
that
a theme
courage
we could do with those?
Oh yes.
Ooh.
Don't throw things like that away.
Damn it! All right, now I got to hold on to more crap.
At the very least, put it in the judge box in the West Coast races. That's why every time someone's like, "Well, no, I avoided a crash. I went away." You're like, "Great, here's a fucking medal.
Here's a silver star.
Here's a medal." Why are you giving me a aerial achievement medal? Yeah. Shut up. Take your medal and get on.
Because you went flying and then hit the ground. Yes.
What do you want, a medal? All right, here we go.
Sure, we got one.
That's actually yes. All right, so you. I feel like now there'll be like six cars out there like at Button Willow and they'll be like, where's my medal? because they listened and they wrote this down.
Save it for the December race when you're there with Tim at Sonoma. You'll be able to hand those things out in like an hour.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I take them all out of the plastic boxes. I believe at least if you can.
Well, they're not. They're in these plastic folders. Anyone who's been in the military knows that there's these thick, padded to open, and they have little plastic sheets over them. It's like to all who bear witness
to these
presents. But if
you have the little pinned, that's all you need. At least then you get to throw away something that makes it so that you're holding on to less. So put them all in a little box. Put the little pin.
I threw the actual physical medals away because what am I going to do? Put them on my hat?
Oh, that's what we thought you were going to give.
No, these are the certificates. These are certificates.
Fun, IMO.
Yeah, I thought these were the little plastic clamshell boxes of medals.
Want some medals.
That's what you're talking about.
A ceremony. Right.
Like, I was going to wear them as pasties. I just, what?
Medals as pasties. That's going in the summary. All right.
It could have been good.
While you're doing that, what are you working on, Chrissy?
I was helping Chris with Civic. We have to push a car. I complain about every time I have to push a car. The Civic up the hill. Oh, well, we have to push the Civic. We push the Civic? No, it drove out. Is pushing the MG up the hill out of the trailer is difficult, but that's okay.
It's small and light.
It is, but it has not even a brake in sight. So it has no brakes. It has a wheel chock, and that's about it. So, and I work too much. So that's it. A lot of stress this week, but we'll get over it. And you've heard a familiar voice, maybe, if you know who it is. It's the calming tones of Lemon Superstar. Don't be a dick. Be a Dickman. Our guest, Corey Dickman, what you working on?
Not that El Camino. Finally, it survived a race in a hole and it doesn't move till September again. It needs tires, brake rotors, and fluids, and it's getting sent.
Okay. And a hug. It needs a hug.
It needs a hug. I gave it a hug. Treat it nice. Treated it nice, even though it's been quite the challenging relationship up until this time for the last 24, 30-ish months with it. But on exciting news, my Cheap Mobile's first track day is March 16th, so 2 weeks from now. So I went and got it dynoed last week, and the lifters were all making noise. So I did a head gasket swap and lifters earlier this week before it just started raining about an hour ago out here. So it is all freshened up with new valve seals and everything, and it's ready to go. And then I need to finish like a couple holes in the firewall and little bitty things like that. But a solid half a day worth of work, and it's ready for the track. And then it's ready for its first race in June with Lucky Dog.
Woohoo! Oh.
Yeah. Oh, and my buddy has invited me over to help him wire up some Hellcat swapped Mopar classic thing this weekend. So since it's raining and I can't do any of my projects, I'm going to head on up the hill and wire up an old classic muscle car with him.
That's very nice of you.
Like, not just clap, but you're wiring classic to new stuff.
I think most of the work is left on the chassis, like wiring a couple of the gauges in. The stock gauges don't work, so troubleshooting that stuff and going through it. So I don't know exactly what it is. He says he has all the material. I'm showing up and I'm going to start working. That's the goal, and see how it comes out.
Now, on the odd chance, or we can save this for the main topic time, but enlighten our perhaps central United States and or East Coast listeners who may not know about the legend of the El Camino.
So we bought this 454 SS 1973 El Camino, I don't know, 2.5 years ago. Spent a year building it, had to weld new floors, a new roof, all kinds of welding on it. And it has broken every single race we've gone to. This is only its fourth race, and we've gone through three. We're on third motor now, the fourth transmission, and the third differential. So every race has been some giant, expensive, complicated thing to swap out. And this it all worked this time. It all stayed together. So that was a win in itself.
And before getting the angry emails of $500 my ass, he pulled this out of, it had sank into someone's yard up to its axles. So
yeah. So Tim Burr dug it mostly out. I cheerleaded. I beat the drums off it once we got it high enough in the air to get it to move. So that was my port in that. He dug most of it because he could fit underneath the spot.
Yes, that tracks.
Yeah.
All right, ready to move on?
We are so ready to move
on. This is an outside. Okay, Horner has been cleared. Autosport is among the many publications relaying this story as the Bahrain GP this weekend prepares fans for the 2024 F1 season. Jonathan Noble tells us that Red Bull F1 team principal has been cleared of any wrongdoing after a lengthy investigation into his behavior by the energy drink company. In an issued statement, Red Bull said the independent investigation into the allegations made against Mr. Horner is complete, and Red Bull can confirm that the grievance has been dismissed. The complainant has a right to appeal, adding Red Bull will continue striving to meet the highest workplace standards. But wait, there's more! This was written yesterday, and there's more stuff out today! It is Thursday. Literally this morning, as we record, hundreds of journalists were anonymously emailed a Google Drive link containing messages and pictures, which detail private conversations between Horner and the unnamed person. Most certainly, as we record, new details are coming out. Holy crap. Who did he pay?
I have seen some of one or two of these little messages. And
what?
Here's the thing. This is the messages are not between him and someone who is not seeking this as attention. These are two very cooperative people having a text or a WhatsApp conversation back and forth. So no matter what Red Bull decides, my bet is Ginger's got him sleeping on the couch.
Why, Mr. Yeah. Horner? Did you not have it all?
Yeah,
he did.
Okay.
But dick pics, though. But dick pics.
But nobody likes that.
Nobody.
What idiot this day and age actually sends dick pics? Like, come on, people. Like,
seriously,
it's there forever on the internet. You can't get rid of it.
Well, and it's not even that.
Also, no one wants it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Literally, we have gay friends who never want a dick pic.
Nope.
No.
No.
All right.
Nope.
Do you subscribe to Motor Trend Plus?
No.
Yeah. Well, for those who didn't say that, if you did follow the Warner Brothers Discovery Network streaming service, you're going to want to check that email address you used when you signed up. Why? Because Motor Trend Plus is shutting down in March. Mike Nelson at autoguide.com gives us the highlights. Now, thousands of Motor Trend shows are or have migrated to Max and Discovery Plus, and that started last Friday. Motor Trend Plus current customers are going to be moved to Discovery Plus's ad-free tier, but there is no current plan on how this is going to affect the Motor Trend originals. Additionally, if you subscribe through certain third-party subscribers like Prime Video, you get nothing. The network, which was made most famous by Roadkill, also features Top Gear America, Wheeler Dealer, and then those great originals like Texas Metal, Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew, and Hot Rod Garage. There's a bunch of suggestions of where you can go now, but it looks like you're just going to go back to the good old YouTubes, or I've actually got a channel on one of my smart TVs that just shows all this motor, like the old Motor Trend stuff. But if you want to keep up on the new stuff, we don't know where it's going. And given Discovery's track record and how much they just absolutely do not care about legacy things that people love, my bet is it's gone.
You know, you just want to watch the old Motor Week TV episodes, or
I friggin' love the old Motor Week TV.
TNN on Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Motor Week. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
Occasionally, Lemons judge, Chang Li enthusiast, and social commentator Jason Torchinski has some news for you. Quote, you have achieved the same results as Apple's 10-year-long EV program, which they just shut down, end quote. Started in 2016, Apple has just ended their own electric car development program. Jason mentions the closest they ever got was a set of wheels for your Mac Pro, which cost $700. As he mentions, you can have an entire PT Cruiser for that much, and we are expecting that company to make an entire automobile. He does give Apple their due, saying, to Apple's credit, the people behind the brand themselves never overhyped anything. They never teased products that would never be released. They never made claims about technology they didn't have or released any half-baked automotive vehicles onto public roads like several companies that could be mentioned. So that does bear some respect. And as with almost all Torchinsky reads, this one's worth a clink. Link in our notes.
I like knowing that I achieved the same thing as Apple.
Yeah. And also is worth a click. Go to racingjunk.com because you're going to find something interesting.
Yes.
So I went to Racing Junk today and I said, I'm going to want to find a new way to die. So I did. I found this lovely turbo Honda sand rail.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Let's die doing that.
Yeah. This is a tube frame rear drive two-seat sand buggy thing. It has a Honda 3.5 liter VTEC spelled with a hyphen and an H, so you know they're legit. Turbo engine with 388 horsepower, 4-speed Mendiola transaxle, don't know what that is, Porsche CV joints, Ron Davis aluminum twin fat radiator, bucket seats with 5-point harnesses, which are the nice plastic Jags Summit looking seats, which are great, right?
Yeah, this is wonderful. Terrifying. Did you say 300?
Fox gas shocks. All this can be yours for $22,500 in Rexburg, Idaho. And frankly, it does look pretty well finished, except for those seats. Like long travel suspension. It's got actually
388 horsepower. Why? Yeah.
Seriously. Like I said, this weighs as much as my Miata door. This right? thing looks awesome.
Door.
This Miata is door. This thing is a hold my beer moment. Die shortly afterwards, right? Yeah. Like,
then you drink the beer because he's not coming back.
Exactly. Yeah. Hate to let it get warm.
So if you're looking for a new way to die, go take a look at this. And that it sounds would be great. Much better. This would be a lot better, and I'd really appreciate it more if they had used code POD23 or maybe 24 to put more than one picture, because the one picture just teases me. Like, I want to see more about.
I want to see that engine up close. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. Oh, that is fantastic. Wow.
That's a good find. Thanks for
and
that.
And if they had just used that pod, they would have gotten the pro membership with 5 ads, 50 photos, which I could have taken 50 photos, interesting photos of that thing. You know who's going to watch the item dashboard. You save your favorite ads, all that kind of great stuff. You get like a discount in the RJ store. Just cool stuff, man. Less money than you would spend at Applebee's. Go get a Racing Junk membership.
Oh, that's funny. Stop going racing side!
Lucky Dog is headed to CMP for the season opener and their Southern Cup. 44 cars. 11 of those are BMWs. Boring. Present company excluded. 9 of them.
It might be, but it's going to be fun.
Right. Still boring.
9 of them are Miatas, which comes down to an almost 50% Miata BMW ratio in the cars. They've got 2 Hondas, 1 Porsche, but they do have a Fiero.
Just 1 Fiero. Good. Okay, good. I also think Champ is running this weekend, but I got nothing on it. So whatever.
Oh, crap. Like Champ is running that.
Who cares? Race Arizona. And we're going to talk about them later. Okay. Cool.
We are.
That was at Thunderhill Race Results, talking about them in very short time. It's actually time now. Okay. I was working in the garage. So I put some towels in a drawer. And this drawer is actually from my washer dryer set that we used to hold our rags because we couldn't actually get rid of it. Got me thinking, what interesting things do people have in their garage that were dual purpose? I also later in the post suggested to use kitty litter bins as trash cans, but there's lots of people that had some ideas.
And among those ideas, Sasha, I went to an auction once and accidentally got myself a pair of stainless steel cafeteria carts for $1 each. They're fantastic for holding pieces of a project and moving them out of the way when needed.
And he has so many pieces of projects though.
And David E. Well, whenever I order mounted tires and wheels from the tire rack. I saved the cardboard disc. They're the perfect size to throw down in the driveway when doing brakes, since they're small, round, all the same size, and not folded. They're really easy to just toss into any spot in the garage to store. That's brilliant. And Greg S. said he uses his old moonshine jars to store extra nuts and bolts in.
Chris G. said, my bicycle tool chest is an old respiratory cart I got from a neighbor who was a nurse at a nearby hospital at the time. The carts were being retired and one were offered to the staff. She grabbed a few and offered me one. Allegedly disinfected beforehand, disinfected a second time by me. Great toolbox. Greg O. said, we know a lot of contractors, so every garage I've worked out of has used kitchen cabinets for storage, and a few even had kitchen counters for workbenches. The style of these always predate the garage by 20 or 30 years, so it's easy to date the age of the garage. I have these in my basement, actually, from our kitchen.
Yes, we do.
They came out. The actual kitchen went right downstairs, circa 1988. It was a pretty good strategy, Greg says, because the solid oak and heavy gauge metal cabinets are hard to find and pricey in recent years. Not only are they free, but they save the garage builder the dump fees of getting rid of them.
Agree all the day. Which is exactly what we did. Jeremy M says, I need a rag trash bag drawer like this. Self space is precious. And flipping on to the YouTubes, Tim B said, I'm up for a live watch party. 7 a.m. is a bit early to start drinking for y'all, but I'll make an exception. Bold prediction, McLaren gives Mercedes a run for third in the constructors.
And that's all that I needed. Stay tuned to our socials because absolutely Sunday morning watch party, Formula One season opener, and Tim will not be the only one drinking. On the socials, I posted a picture of Roy from Sierra College Motorsports, and we were introducing him to the delicate art of eating chips while everyone else is working. So there he is. And that got several responses. Florida man said, why is he so close? He's supposed to be 25 feet away in a chair with his feet up on something that was removed from the car when the work began. He's not wrong. And when I said that, he said, proving again that automotive journalists have no idea how the world actually works. True. Eurotech Racing, one of the people that is responsible for bringing Sierra College to Lemons, said he's really struggling not to help. Get him more chips. Slow Dino Racing said there's some haha business going on right there. And Roy himself said, watching you all work while getting the car back out on Sunday was great. And eating a bag of chips, well, that's the only thing I've mastered. Do you know who's mastered way more than eating a bag of chips?
Totally.
Hi, Mom. Who's that?
That would be Chrissy's mom.
Hi, Mom.
Excellent.
Catch me, Tommy time!
All right. Now, we have listed here the main topic, Thunderhill, but we are going to divulge into several things, including another episode of Corey Tells You How to Be Awesome. We're going to talk about Sierra College Motorsports, particularly their little cast iron angel named Erica, some of the results, all kinds of stuff. But it is it's an expanded, what we would call it, I guess, hangover episode. You down with that, Corey? Do you feel hungover?
I'm just starting to feel right from the weekend. That's for sure. Yeah. It's Thursday and I'm just starting to get back into the groove of
things.
That's
about right.
Yeah. I'll feel great tomorrow afternoon about noon and be ready to go again. But yeah, it was a good weekend.
Because I always have that, halfway home, you're still riding that high. And then, when you're about 4 hours from getting back to your house, the exhaustion punches you in the face. And then because I'm a masochist, I usually drive home, take a shower and go to work. And then halfway through work, I just start having that depressive, 24 hours ago, I was racing. Now I'm at work having the soul sucked out of me kind of deal. And then I get over that
And I still have to unpack and everything's still dirty.
Yeah. Not just dirty, racetrack dirty.
Mm. Yes. At least it's not racetrack wet most of the time. Coming home, packing everything in the rain on Sunday afternoon is about the worst.
Except you have to find a place to spread all that stuff out as soon as you get home, and
otherwise the worst is when you forget and it's Thursday before you unpack the wet stuff.
No, we don't forget. Nope.
Yeah, you can't forget. Even out in California, you can't forget that.
No,
stuff.
We don't forget.
It starts to do a mess.
Just real quick, we'll run through the stuff that nobody actually cares about. Your win on laps was UMad Bro Racing. If you've never met them, it's really easy to start throwing out the robot arms, $500 my ass. They're just great people. They help a bunch of people out there in the paddock. They also have a very not cheaty BMW. More on that in a moment, because that thing hella broke. But they've got a V8 swapped E36. They are crazy fast. They are super clean. They earn those wins. Class B was the hit and run racing. Is that the same one that won Sonoma?
You know, I can't remember. Okay. That was so long ago.
It was bone stock 1.6. You can walk over and push in the car and it still bounces for about 3 minutes after you walk away. So they also, it's just keep the car turning laps. And Class C, and this did come down to what, the last 10 minutes?
It was really the last hour when we didn't pit. We decided to run two-hour stints at the end, because up until that moment in time, we had five drivers scheduled for Saturday or for Sunday. And like, we found ourselves in contention and had to shift strategy if we wanted to be done with C-Class and move out to work and really cheat in the El Camino. And we pulled it off. The Yaris team, we pulled it off in the El Camino. The Yaris team, I was staying there when Tim was coming off the track at the end of the day. And they thought we had to pit because Neil was over talking to them because they were in contention with us. And Neil's like, oh, yeah, we got five drivers. And when we didn't stop, they knew that they lost it because they had to stop again. So it was pretty great. It was pretty great. Like, I would say an hour out, there was three cars in C-Class, a little Honda Accord. It's all silver.
Another 80s Honda Accord trying to snatch a C-Class win.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there was a Daewoo car. That was another Camry.
It's Toyota.
The Camry.
Toyota Camry. Yeah. And so
like
all
three
of us. All day Sunday, we're going back and forth, we were P1 in Class C from about an hour and a half in on Sunday the rest of the day, and it wasn't easily given to us, right?
No. B Class was kind of the same. I think the Junk Runners Ford Ranger was right up until the end, and that's another great team out there. So that was fun. So those are your class winners. All right. And we'll, if you haven't found that, we'll have a link to the results in our show notes. As I think we just recycled our standard hangover format on this one, but traveling to the track, you had to get there like super early Thursday.
Oh, I always get there super early. So Thursday for me, part of the Lemons experience is being parked in the parking lot and hanging out with all my friends before we have to race.
Oh, yeah.
So UMad Bro is one of those teams, right? There's four or five. There's probably eight of us that show up extremely early on Thursday, like before noon, and we just sit around and we talk trash all day.
That's
right.
Fun.
And that's part of the experience. And I'm, so I always show up to that. So I got there early and did that. And then Kim put me to work for a little bit in the afternoon to burn some of the time. And it was good. But the UMad Bro guys are awesome. Funny. I'm one of those guys is actually who I'm going to work on the Mopar for this weekend. Those guys, one of them moved up to Shingle Springs, which is about 40 minutes from me here in Sacramento. And he's helped me with the BMW, some work, and he's got a shop. So we've become pretty good friends over the time.
That's excellent. And it's worth mentioning that this was the most un-Thunderhill-like weather that I have ever, because normally it is either melt your face, miserable hot, or rainforest storms.
It's always Memorial Day, right? And Memorial Day can go either way in California. It could be snowing in the mountains still, or it could be 110 degrees, which it's usually 110 degrees. That's usually the first scorching weekend that we have of the year.
Mm-hmm. And this race was Thunderhill stepping up because Sonoma is being repaved. So they took, because there's another race at Thunderhill in May, and yep. You know, the same weekend. But we had
now, was this the 3 mile course this weekend or the Thundersleeve?
So the 3 mile, the classic direction, and then they switched it on Sunday, which was amazing.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it backwards was the first time I'd taken it at race pace, and it was. The car liked it both ways, and I liked it both ways. On Sunday, I was having a lot of fun.
How close are the lap times going the different directions? I'm curious.
It's 3 or 4 seconds slower going backwards.
Okay.
So it's pretty close. Yeah. But I had driven last year when they did the weird, like they switched it three ways from 5 mile to 3 mile and then reversed it at lunch deal. I, on test day before I worked, because I was judging that weekend, I took one of my buddies' E30s out on the track and did a half hour on the 5 mile backwards. So it was, I just got out of the car and was confused. I don't even know what to think of that. Like, none of these corners are meant to go this way. They're all decreasing radius and you fly into them, right? And it prepared me very well for the 3 mile backwards, actually. Which turned out to be, I really enjoyed it a lot. And I wish they would do it either all backwards or all forwards and not switch it up, you know, the middle of the weekend. So we could all be consistent. But this worked a lot better, I think, than the five mile backwards one day and then the 3 mile one way. And that was a little weird. So it was fun. Like I said, it's the last year because my car broke so many times and even the arrive and drives I went to broke so much. I got 4.5 hours of track time and I got 3.5 hours this weekend. So
super.
It's the most track time I've had.
That's fantastic.
For about 18 months. Yeah.
Excellent.
And I wasn't there to run the El Camino. Initially, I wasn't even going to drive, but it was not very hard to do, but I got recruited to drive the Failbird. Well, no, we're going to call it the Party Bird because it did take the checker. So
now, you just drove up Thursday night?
Well, Friday, so when, Thursday morning, actually, left here, Las Vegas, me, Zach, Buddha. We hopped in his very lovely Toyota Avalon and had a just zero pressure, relaxing drive through the Central California Valley. It's about 9 hours. We stopped and Zach, being from the East Coast, wanted to have an In-N-Out burger. So we did that just outside of Bakersfield and nice drive. We got in Thursday evening, probably about 8 o'clock. Yeah.
The so sun he had the van shipped out there then, or
he did.
Somebody drug it. Yeah.
He had it drug. And you know, the curse / blessing of the van continues because they were about 10 miles from the where it left in Kentucky before the trailer got its first flat tire. But they were going to meet us in Barstow, California, and we got a little bit of a late start out of Vegas and they had already taken off. So I think we got in about 30 minutes behind them in the van. They were towing it out there. I got to chat with them very little. I haven't met them before. They were also hard themers, wonderful people. The van had a theme and it was the Metalla van. And they all had heavy metal jackets. They had shirts made for the occasion. They had stickers made for everything. They would walk around with 80s hair and ripped up jeans and everything. It was pretty fantastic. And Jeff Langston from Ranger Road actually has a drum head signed by every member of Metallica that he loaned them for the BS presentation.
Make sure you give it back.
Oh yeah. Jeff wasn't letting that thing get too far from his sight at any given point on there. We had Jeff on the show years ago, and that's originally why I was out there, was helping out Ranger Road and Jeff Langston. That was a whole great fun time as always with that crew.
Cool. All right. So do we want to go through the rest of the results? You did the ABC, but there's a whole bunch of other ones, and you guys know the stories a lot better because you were there. I have no clue. I can just read them.
Nope,
off.
We're just here to ask you questions.
All right. Let me see. Will you bring it up? Because
For example, IOE, not a Miata, O2 Mini Cooper.
We're going to save that one for last because it might be the single greatest story Lemons has ever told.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll keep going.
Okay.
Ford Choice, Prince in the new powertrain generation in an 05 Miata.
All right. So you've seen the Prince and the new powertrain generation. They've got this lovely NB Miata. It's purple, and they dress as Prince and the Revolution. He's got the purple coat. He's got the wig, the big collar, the ruffled
somebody's
shirt.
Dragging around a guitar. They're always all weekend. Somebody, yes. You see somebody from the band Prince rolling around the paddock. It's epic, right?
Yes. And like the two guys with guitars are guitarists, yeah. And they like, they'll sit there while they're waiting in BS and play Purple Rain. And so this year for BS, they took it one level up. They're in their Prince costumes, and they brought a basketball hoop and challenged anyone that wanted to a basketball game, like the old Charlie Murphy story from Dave Chappelle's show, where they played Prince. And sometime over the weekend, he playing in platform boots and a giant purple trench coat pulled a hamstring.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Right as the starter went out of their Miata and they had to push it after every pit stop.
Yeah, every time I went over there, they were playing horse with the judges. It was hilarious.
So they're a longstanding team, and they're always themed. They're always fun. They're hilarious. I had this Instagram moment when I rolled by there on Saturday morning before the track went green, and they always had Prince playing on a Bluetooth speaker, and Let's Go Crazy was playing right as you drove past the cart. Set the tone, it's a lemons weekend. Yeah.
All right. Heroic Fix, not sponsored by, and a 92 Corvette.
So their engine blew in their car. No, I'm sorry. The engine blew in their tow rig that they drove up, and they realized it was the same engine in their race car.
Well, no, here.
Okay.
It blew a mile before the track. I think they came from Seattle. So like 10, 11, 12 hours of driving, right?
Salt Lake City, it says on here, but still.
Same thing. 10, 11 hours, far. Right? Either way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was driving back Friday morning from my my fuel run, and there's this RV and like five cars parked around it, and the hood's up and the wrench. And I'm like, oh man, that's a bummer. You know, their RV, they're so close, right? And it turns out, yeah, they totally grenaded it. Jeff Gates told them they could go to Hayward and pluck a small block Chevy out of his shop, one of the pullouts from one of the Alloy Motors shops. So they went to Hayward, got a free motor, a cheap motor from him. I don't know what the deal was on it. And they stuffed that in the van, and they finished just in time for the award ceremony while they were racing the Corvette all weekend.
And if you've ever had to pull an engine out of an RV, it has to come out of the front, or you've got to be able to lift it up high enough to lift it out from underneath. So they had to cut their radiator core support to pull that engine out of the front and slap it all back in there together. The story was awful. The engine Jeff Gates gave them, and Jeff Gates was one of the judges this weekend, was better than the one that was in it. They're like, oh my God, this thing runs wonderful now. This is fantastic. So they had to actually, to get it all buttoned back up, which they fully did, they had to have that core support welded back in. Keep that one in the back of your nuggets, because it's part of a story later. Oh, and it looks like Chris and Chrissy have giga blasted again, Corey.
Oh,
no. What is? And
I can hear you, Chris. Yeah.
We restarted everything.
And we were fine for an hour.
Yeah.
I will not mock giga blasting. I will only
you
empathize.
Can't. You're not allowed.
You should, for years you had giga blasting.
You're not allowed.
Well, we can keep going. Fortunately, yeah, you're talking. The one that's telling the stories. Judge's Choice, Full Metal Jacket Racing in a 59 Bonneville. I mean, that's probably the story right there.
You guys have both seen that Bonneville. When you came to Buttonwillow. One? Yes, the one that's 37 feet long.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. They finally got it to hold together for an entire weekend.
Yeah, it limped on Saturday. They hurt something on it, or on Sunday. It was slow, very, very slow Sunday, trying to take the checkers, but it came in on its own power and finished the race this weekend. So they finally made it all the way through with that grenade in it.
Excellent.
Every time I see that car on the track, I want it. I don't want to race it. I would I would probably leave the cage in it. I would absolutely leave the patina on it. It's got a great set of wheels. It's got this lovely lowered stance. And I would just cruise to work in that thing. My left arm would be 4 shades more tan than my right arm, because that's how you'd have to drive that Bonneville with an elbow just hanging right there on the door.
You watch that car like coming on the back straight, the little S's on the top there on Thunder Hill on the little back chute. It's just flat through there, and it looks fast, and it's so giant. You're just like, wow, that is amazing to see. That I smile every time I'm on the track with that car.
And it right up until it usually hurts itself, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue Mangler Cup.
Oh,
Sorry for Party got a free set of tires.
Yeah. After, I guess we'll talk about Sorry for Party since they're on there. They were the one that blew that LS1 up on set. That Roy was eating chips and watching.
Yeah.
And,
so we'll get to Saturday, but hey, they got some tires out of it at least. Yeah. That's nice.
Almost made it worthwhile. New LS, right. Set of tires, same price.
All right. Yeah. So I got screwed with the team lowball in a 76 Pinto.
Ah.
Probably not hard to figure out what happened there.
So the three judges this weekend, as we mentioned, Jeff Gates, great guy, hot rodder. He looks like, you know, he looks like a guy that owns a legendary high-end hot rod shop in Hayward, California, because he is. And he works a part. Always a fun guy. Chris Overzet, Lemons legend, owns Buttercup, the 75 Lincoln, 76 Lincoln. Giant Lincoln Continental that's covered in horse fur and has a horse on top. And he street drives that one too, which is even funnier.
75, because he's having to smog it.
That's right. 75. Yeah. And the third judge was Tom Webb, and you guys got to work with Tom Webb.
Yeah.
So absolutely. He loves Vegas Pintos. Him and Jan both were there for the weekend. And on Friday test day, this little Pinto is out there, and everyone notices there's a bit of a whistle coming out from underneath the hood, and what sounds like, you know, boosted gases venting whenever it would shift gears. And you notice it also has 5 lug wheels. Sounded really good, actually. It was moving along at a pretty good clip, and then it blew up. So they had to do some work on it. They had to get it swapped, and they actually get it running Sunday. And they roll up to tech because they'd spent the day Friday practicing. They had never gotten it teched. And lo and behold, it won't pass.
Oh no.
Oh, no. How did it get on? How did it get out?
So they need some
track day.
Track day.
They don't care. So it needs some work done on its cage, which requires some welding. Want you to hold on to that little nugget, because it comes up in a story later.
Okay. All right. We got a couple more. The regional award, New Dynasty in Electric Vehicle Experience. It went to Electric Turtle in a 2018 Chevrolet Bolt.
Yes.
So they're trying the EV thing. Okay.
Bone stock with a number on it.
It really was.
Full interior, everything.
Stolen from Hertz.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they were good.
How tragic was it?
Not as tragic as you would think. It would move when it was on the track, but as Jay would say, you know, then they'd run it out of juice, go down to the outlet mall, do a little shopping, you know, hang out in the Starbucks, check their email,
have some lunch,
you know, charge it back up, drive it back to the track.
Wow.
Did they not have RV hookups like at Thunder Hill to be able to?
There's slow chargers, but no superchargers or no high speed chargers. So they drove it into town to Walmart.
It was worth it to go and go somewhere else. Wow. All
right. They were commenting on Saturday night at the potluck. They got 66 laps, which is almost exactly what they calculated they were going to get. So they were super stoked out of that.
Well, if they could be happy about one thing, then that's wonderful.
Absolutely. All right. We got 2 left. HMG, Sunday Fun Day, 06 Mini Cooper. What do they do?
So it was the team principals, husband and wife, and there were a bunch of their friends with them. It was their daughter's actual first birthday that weekend. So all around their paddock, you could come by, put on a party hat. Half the people in the pit are wearing the birthday party hats. You could win prizes. They had contests, all these lovely first birthday
fabulous
things.
Prizes. Wow. That's fabulous the way
prizes.
To go.
they had their lovely little girl dressed up like a baby Kim. Rainbow socks, checkered flag, like little nappy cover and a yellow shirt. Even Kim was walking around holding her for a little while. And the key to Halloween Meets Gasoline is you never break character. And everyone that walked by, come play, come have our party, come do this, come do, you know, it was so all weekend.
Fun.
Little
fun.
Girl's first birthday party. And then they gave out prizes. They had, if you'd won one of the contests, they had the raffle tickets. And they handed them out to people.
Yeah, and if they caught you at the party hat at any time walking around the paddock, they'd hand you a raffle ticket. And they had a giant Connect Four that was like 6 feet tall, right, that you dropped the big discs that were about that big in it. And I will call it a luxury mammal-sized Twister board because it was like 10 by 10 to play Twister on. It was pretty good. And they had that stuff set up all weekend, and they were going hard at it every time you went by them.
Excellent.
That's a good HMG. It's yeah. We think so deep and try to find a movie and be a character all weekend, but like that's just a fun thing. I love it. It's good.
Yep.
And you told me to keep this one to the last. IOE, not a Miata. Oh, too many Cooper.
So if you go all the way back to Sonoma, when Corey, I, and Tim were judging, there was a group of young college kids from Sierra College, and they recently started a motorsports program. And they started this motorsports program as they had their industrial arts, and West Coast racer, Renee Lamb, she's got the Hulk Smash Porsche. She also does Eurotech racing. She's a NASA instructor, a hooked on driving instructor. She's got a super fast 944 turbo for a track car. And then she's got her Lemons Miata. She's just a fun person and a really hardcore gearhead. Her famous shtick is when she was 17, she got arrested for street racing on Father's Day. And while she was, you know, waiting there, they're like, "You want to call your parents?" Nope. Nope.
Just going to sit this one out.
Nope.
Yeah. She's going to ruin this day.
But every year for Father's Day, she gives him a gift with her mugshot from that day on it. So she's got her mugshot mug that she'll go around the paddock. She runs a high-end European race prep slash repair shop out there on the West Coast with her dad. She knows her stuff. She was asked to come speak to Sierra College about their industrial arts program. And she went through her career and her life being involved in motorsports to that level and casually mentioned, "And on weekends, I will go with this group called the 24 Hours of Lemons and race a cheap Porsche." And 15 of them perked up. And after her presentation, they all wanted to know, "How can we do this? What is this Lemons thing? What can we do?" So she got them with Roy, their faculty advisor, and they found a Mini Cooper and they brought it out to go racing. At Sonoma, they ended up kind of putting it into the wall and it was unrepairable because everything on a Mini Cooper that can be broken is right up front, densely packed engine. So the whole team spent the next half of a day fixing four other cars, including one of the veterans teams and two new teams. They showed up at Thunder Hill with the exact same, you know, they had a very newbie mistake. Car wasn't starting, so they thought it was the wiring harness. They ripped the entire wiring harness out of the
Mini Cooper. Oh, no.
Realized, it was the ECU and rewired the car, got it out on track.
Oh,
so they were
goodness.
Great. One of their team members is a 5'1". You know, just, you know, unbelievably adorable girl named Erica. And Erica loves to weld. And Friday night, she'd come over to Ranger Road. They were having with one of their camber adjustment plates. It was cracked. She grabbed it, ran it back over to the pit, welded it back up, came over there. And we were, you know, chuckling, "Man, you know, you could make a lot of money just carrying around a tip jar. I wouldn't do money down there." And even our friend Amanda said, "You know, know your worth. Don't do anything for free." So she jokingly had a sign that said, "We'll weld for food." Now, in doing all of that, she ended up helping repair Anton's Volvo. She helped repair that Pinto. She welded in the core support on that RV. In there, she helped the UMad Bros non-cheaty BMW. And
still cheating, but
no, it's still cheating. Yeah. It's still cheating. I've got one other car. I can't remember. But she ended up getting like six cars back on track just by walking around and being able to weld and help and do stuff. And then in between that, she would literally walk up and down the paddock and go, "Hey, what can we help you guys with? What do you need done? What do you need done?"
She's like the little Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. And mental understated the work that she did at Sonoma. When we gave the awards, almost everybody, like one team had a muffler fall off their G35. She welded that on. Like half the people we gave awards to at Sonoma actually had welding done by her as well.
And so, there's plenty of, it makes sense because there's plenty of races. Most races you go to, you've got some team walking around looking for people with a welder. Fortunately, mm-hmm. Bruce is usually one of them has a welder, and some half the time he's doing it, but people bring it to him. So that's how we got a case of Baja Blast at the last race. We were all drinking and we're like, ew, Baja Blast. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, right.
Squirrel.
No, legit. So she helped put six cars back on track, one trailer, one RV, and then welded up the Mopar Lady Z so they could actually, because they had broken a suspension piece and couldn't even get their car on the trailer without some welding done on it. So as Jay is going through these various stories, he's got her up front. And so that was it. The Sierra College Motorsports, particularly Erica, got the IOE.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yes. And everyone cheered and literally chanted her name for a couple of minutes when they got done. And it was just this, and she was a bit taken aback because she's just there to have fun and help people out because that's who she is and that's what she does. And it was fantastic. And we are going to have a link to the Sierra College Motorsports Instagram and the Sierra College Motorsports Facebook page. And if you are listening to this, go and follow both of those, even if you don't care about that stuff. And then do the like and comment thing, because their faculty advisor, Roy, who is a fantastic guy, he is constantly fighting a value to prove, or rather fighting a battle to prove the value of this program, because they don't think that industrial arts are important. And this is everything that these kids, this is why they're going to college. They want to learn to make and create and do things with their hands. And the college wants to replace it with kind of a different thing. And he's bringing in this very micro attitude of welding and bodywork and mechanical work. These are jobs that do not get outsourced. They do not go overseas and they are in demand. Jeff Gates, aforementioned hot rodder, that, you know, they were actively over there talking to these guys about, so when do you graduate? What do you think you're going to want to do for a job? And how do you feel about coming to work over here and doing these things? John Pagel is going to host Erica and a couple of them out at one of his cage building seminars. And he's going to talk through the engineering process of it and talk through that whole thing. And Corey is going to be mentoring
you. I'm going to host her for a cage building session coming up shortly because she lives in Sacramento. So I have a couple projects on the front yard. And my driveway's full up again that need to get done.
So
it's our learning.
Fall, so. Learning.
Anton always does those lovely updates at the end of everything. And he titled the update for the Thunderhill race, the Cast Iron Angel, which is not only a great name for a heavy metal band, but also really just describes kind of her personality. And it was and there's even more to that story. It's really, really fantastic. And it was, she even afterwards was still kind of processing what it means to win an IOE, having not driven a car. And it's the first time Lemons has ever, Jay gave out the awards and he said, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is clearly your IOE. And he pointed out that this is the only time that they have ever given the IOE to not a car.
Yeah. So I was texting her afterwards because she was asking me when we're going to build this cage, right? And she says, I don't know much about the award. I know teams get it and know there's some veteran teams that have a patch. I've only done two races, so I'm still learning the ins and outs of Lemons. So I went on a big, long explanation of, you know, the IOE for a car is the hooptiest thing that goes the farthest, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you got this in the spirit of Lemons because you've helped so many teams. And And the first part of Lemons is that we're supposed to be here and having fun together, and you're embracing that value and enjoying it at the same time and helping people out, which is why you got it for this round. So,
she proselytizes the value of Lemons, values rather, of community and support and fun and education and learn through hardship. It was amazing.
That's fantastic.
And then I joked and I said, well, you get a free car entry. So you're going to build yourself a car this year. And she's like, what?
I was also chatting with Renee, and Renee said now that she actually wants to learn how to drive a stick shift so that she can get on track and work, do some fun Lemons type stuff. And if we can scroll through these pictures, I know this is horrible podcasting, but it's a great story of who she is. So help this entire team out. And, everyone loves to just say, no one cares. No one wants to get into cars anymore. Young people don't like cars. And it's a bit of a load of crap. Cause here's an entire group of young people, and they're even having to fight their school about the option of how they can keep learning these industrial programs. And it's, you can help them out by going on this. And unfortunately, I do not have the correct Facebook up, so I cannot bring up a picture of her. And otherwise I'm doing the hold the phone up to the thing. Yes, there will be there'll be a link to all this. Go check them out. Go check out Sierra College Motorsports. Find out that they are doing super awesome, cool stuff, and that they are creating the next generation of gearheads out there. Not just gearheads, cool, but folks that are going to work on these dumb cars.
Okay. All right. So this is the Friday testing tech. What did you guys do? What did you drive? What broke? What was your theme? What was the whole thing?
Well, I was there with Sorry for Party. So naturally, that's the theme.
Party.
Zebra stripes.
So we rolled through with the wigs, the ridiculous clothes, and the douche champs, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
The El Camino shtick this weekend was on the news for Valentine's. I saw the John Cusack Say Anything, where he's holding the boom box, and what's behind him? An El Camino of the same vintage as ours. So we all had trench coats, and it's a Clash t-shirt they had on. Well, Tim made one called The Crash, and he had the Stig in the middle, and he had a zebra looking around the side of everybody. And it was awesome. I hope he scans it and turns it into a t-shirt.
Tim Burr fashion, he freehanded it, and it looked like something you would pay $50 to get off of Etsy.
So we randomly stood around the paddock in our trench coats, holding up the thing with the, Peter Gabriel playing. That was our shtick. And it was just random. It was just an addition to it, right, to play along.
But it was pretty funny. It was Corey. It was Tim. It's Dr. Mary Harris. It's Neil Losey. We'd be in the pit, and you would just very quietly, start to hear Peter Gabriel, and you'd turn around, and they'd just be on the other side of the pit
just wall, there,
holding up the boom box. Extremely well done. Yeah. Fantastic. Hilarious. Fun thing going on with that one.
Good. Did you guys test it all, or just see?
I drove the Firebird on Friday, and Matt had some of his Corvette takeoff tires. So 305s or 315, really sticky Yokohamas. And I went through turn one a couple times going, wow, it wants more. And then it wants even more than that. Like, I've never gone this fast in this corner. So I did 5 laps-ish in it and had fun with it. And then I took the El Camino through Saturday morning, was like, oh God, it doesn't want this.
too much.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, we had Tim and Matt on the show a couple of weeks ago when they were getting ready to drop this in there. So he LS swapped the Party Bird. Chris, you've driven the Party Bird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the last time you saw the Party Bird, it's been going to the gym. It hired a personal trainer, and it is I think there was maybe a car faster, consistently faster than what the Firebird is capable of.
Wow.
It's got more power now with the LS than the old small block Chevy. They have been beating their head against the wall of the small block Chevy for 15 years. And it eventually they had to do something else. So
this is like us in the K-Swap.
Right.
Yes. So he got it in there. And so we tested it on Friday. And like I'm coming in going, I might be in over my head on this one, because this thing is super, super fast. I scared myself a couple times.
And it's rare.
And you'd be like, oh God, I screwed up. I'm going to this corner way too fast. You turn the wheel and it positively yawned. Yeah, I got this. No problem. And within two laps, you find out you don't need to come out of fourth. You just put it in fourth until you get on the straightaway and you hit fifth. And if you did it right a couple of times, you could even grab sixth for a second or two at the end of the straightaway. It was going into super creepy speeds at the end.
Chris, have you guys driven Thunderhill yet?
No.
No.
The front straight's probably just shy of 3/4 mile long. I mean, it is big.
Yeah.
It's a long straight. And you come onto it with steam.
And the top of a T56 is close to 150.
Yeah.
I properly launched out of the last corner, you could easily be flirting with 130 plus. And so it just had all of it on demand.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And, without arguing. All right, real quick.
Before we get
too far into it, I do want to just throw this up there just for my co-host, because it's terrible podcasting. That's Erica right there. And that's the Sierra College Motorsports.
She's wearing her welding outfit. She's got her trophy and her check and her little, I love that it's a paper plate that says Will Walker. Right.
Perfect. Nobody could give her anything else. I mean, one step up is cardboard, I suppose.
I think she delivers. She gets the genre, you know, the kind of the vibe, and you know, anything more than that would have looked too professional, and she wanted to fit in.
Nice.
That's awesome.
All right. So Friday goes well. Friday evening, typical festivities ensue. Things are not broken. Have a good time.
Totes.
Enjoy your friends.
You've got Tim Burr. He's got smoked meat. You've got the van cruising slowly through the paddock with the everybody, you know, doing
hangers-ons.
Hangers-on, yeah. Absolutely.
Always a good time.
You get Neil Losey randomly creeping up behind people playing Peter Gabriel.
Yes.
Yes. Then sometimes he would even do it in costume and theme. So
good. Yeah. Yep. Good. All right. So Saturday. Well, how'd you start off? Who's out? What happened?
Well, I'll talk to the El Camino first.
Yeah.
The El Camino, Tim and I said, this car's not giving us anything. Just go beat the hell out of it. Because if it blows up, at least we can feel like we weren't trying to treat right. And we did. We whipped on it hard right out of the hole. We only had four drivers. Tim went out and did an amazing hour and 45 and 50 minute stint. I went out. When I came back in, we were ninth overall in the El Camino. Nice. And then we put our rookie driver in, and he slowed us down a little bit. But I think we finished 13th overall on Saturday in the El Camino. Trouble-free. It just turned laps the entire day. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's an LQ4 and a 4L80 in that now?
Oh, it's an LQ9 with a turbo 400. Yeah.
Okay. And so that gets, 10 gallons an hour, maybe?
It actually was good because we have 256 or 273 gears in the back of it.
Yeah.
Because I haven't changed them out because we've been changing motors at this point in time and diffs and all kinds of things. Right. So that's we're going to do that next summer. We're not touching it. We're not letting any magic out of this thing this year. It's fine the way it is. It's fine. Not going to go into it. It actually got just 8.5 to 9 gallons an hour is all it was burning.
That's not that bad for
down the front straight, it was kind of 4,600 RPM is all it was, right? And
Had the Laguna exhaust on it, because it was remarkably quiet.
No, that's the just got a set of Magnaflows on it, so it's just quiet, right? I like it that way. It's enough in the car where you're like, okay, it's awesome, but it doesn't blow your eardrums out, right?
Excellent.
Getting old, I guess. Anyway, so brake pad swap and
quiet is nice in endurance cars. I keep putting more mufflers on our cars.
Yeah. Like 2 hours listening to that straight stuff pipes. Is exhausting, right?
Yeah.
It is. And then just a brake pad change for the El Camino and some fluids and set it down for the night and did the potluck and came back to all that mental talk to the Firebird progress on Saturday night.
So how's your day, Mental? What'd you do on Saturday?
So I'm also over there trying to help the Ranger Road guys. So I'm over there working with them. They've got the all hand control car. So I'm helping them with some of their pit stops and they're feeding me really well and they're treating me great. It's fantastic. We get everything set up. They get their cars out there. They brought 3 Volkswagens in addition to their hand controlled GTI. So 4 Volkswagens, but 3 of them were A2s. One of them, the St. Clair car is a diesel Golf. So it's fun. So they're out there rolling around. And I get over to go do my stint in the Party Bird. Matt gets out of it. He took the first stint and he was running in. He got it into the top 10. I want to say he was 7th. No pressure.
Third. Yeah. Okay, they were 3rd and 4th all day.
So I get in the car and immediately I'm out there. And if you remember back when Godzilla was, full up Godzilla, there was a bit of a reputation with Godzilla. Oh, that's 3-pedal mafia. You know what? They're kind of cool. So people start getting out of your way and you have to be respectful of that. And the Party Bird has presence. The Party Bird, people see it coming, they move. I think a lot of folks were not prepared for it to be as fast as it was. They have a, they have an idea, a calibration of how quick that car is. And now it was super, super fast.
Come fast.
Yeah.
But it's endurance racing. So, if something faster came up behind me, we're not even going to play the game. You point a bye and off you go. And I had an amazingly uneventful entire thing. No trouble, no problems. A couple of, extended full course yellows. Then you reach over there and you hit the switch on the dash. This is Party Rock, which fires up the speaker and the MP3 player on there. And you go through the paddock with the douche jams and you look to see which of the corner workers start dancing with it as you come by. So that's always a good time.
It was pretty hilarious when I was out there on test day and I had that on and I couldn't hear anything else except for like unsa, really faintly or going like 120 miles an hour.
Right? I got it. Just laughing the whole time. Bit of a Doppler effect, right? On your
It was too good.
So it's instead of Little Wayne going I get out, I hand it over to Tim, who then proceeds to put on a clinic because that's what Tim does when he goes out there. He runs it, hands it back off to Matt for the last stint. Matt has that car in 2nd and it's not threatening you, mad bro, but it's right there. It is just waiting for a bad pit stop or something. And it is just absolutely, I want to say it was running 2 10s, two. I mean, just stupid. It was like 2nd fastest car on the paddock. And Corey's going to look up the times right now. And then suddenly it wasn't running anymore. Knock, knock.
Aww.
Who's
knock,
there?
Knock, knock. Oh, don't come out till later.
I am the one who knocks.
Yes. So less than 30 minutes left to go in 1st, there's a clangety clang sound in the Failbird. Matt brings it into the pits, checks the oil. Turns out there is none.
His fastest lap about five laps before the end of the race was a 2:15. He was turning 2:20s almost the whole time on average.
Which, and that's for a 5-mile course,
sending it.
No,
it's a 3-mile.
That's pretty sending it.
It's sending it on that track. It's fast as hell.
Reference, what was the El Camino running?
2:30 something.
Okay,
so
it's pretty good.
Matt is understandably bummed about the whole thing.
Just put a lot of work into that. And
he absolutely
doing great
did.
And then fail.
And he is seriously considering setting it on fire and rolling it to a safe place where it will burn and not bother anyone else, and cracking open a bottle when Corey says,
I know somebody who's got an LS. and not even before the deal is made,
I know a guy with an LS. I've got an address in my phone. Greg, your buddy Greg, throws me the keys to his truck. I am pointed to Sacramento while they start negotiating on the phone. And it was about 90 miles away from the track to this guy's house, and I'm there in just under an hour. That comes into play in a minute. By the time I get there, they've arrived at a deal.
Ready to go in the bed of the truck.
And the old engine is already pulled out of the party bird. So it is ready to go, and they are waiting on me. So as I am departing Sacramento on my way back with an LS in there, I got to have a conversation with the California Highway Patrol.
It's really more like a business transaction where they just hand you that little bill. The California Highway Patrol doesn't really have a conversation with you. They just write you a ticket. It's done.
Yes. I've had conversations with them in the past. I've negotiated down to
a conversation. You're usually pretty good at negotiating. You just hand them your military card and they're like, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Get on your way. Yes.
So as I pull over, he comes up and says, well, I got you on LIDAR doing 90. And then I sat behind you for a few minutes.
Oh, no.
So
you're so focused on getting this motor back.
I am so focused on getting this motor back. And so there was going to be no denial. I just apologize. I apologize profusely. And I hand him my license. And he says, is this still your current address? To wit, I then went, why, yes, because I retired there. And he rolls his eyes.
Oh, what?
But cut me a break. So I will be taking an online course courtesy of the California Highway Patrol.
That's hilarious.
I still got back, and we were ready to go before 10 o'clock. But as I pull up, everyone is just standing around and they're listening to some Mexican song, and I'm like, what, why are we not helping get this engine out? You know, come on guys, we only got so much time. And then I realize the song, right as it goes there, the chorus goes, you better slow down, Speedy Gonzalez. They dug this song up.
Wow.
And I stopped, and luckily we were able to get a recording of it, which is the video that I used to tell Vicky how I got a ticket. Way better than, you know, just telling her I got a ticket.
So he gets back with the motor, and we're like, shit, it doesn't have a pilot bearing because it's from an automatic. Everything is closed. So it has to just hang on a freaking. They went to bed about 1 o'clock or so. I was first in the car, so I went to bed about 11. But I wake up in the morning, and it's just hanging there all sad. While Matt's waiting for O'Reilly to open up because they actually had one in stock.
Oh,
but Jeff Gates had brought down an engine hoist. Chris Overzet was there. Everybody in the paddock came over. They're like, you're going to get
hell
it back
party.
On the track.
Yeah.
It actually felt very old school Lemons. You know, your car was running great. If we scramble hard enough, we could get this thing back out on track. Everyone was being so supportive and nice, and food and help and hands. And his name escapes me. The other guy that was just instrumental,
Chet.
And Chet was there, and they're everybody's wrenching and having a good time. And we got it as far as we possibly could without that pilot bearing. Matt's girlfriend had driven up. So he went and stayed the hotel with her, woke up early in the morning, was at 7:25, is hovering outside the O'Reilly's.
Come on.
Hi.
And he got it in there, and it buttoned up and running before, I think we in total gave up 2.5 hours of track time.
Yeah, it was amazing.
This motor wasn't exactly the freshest LS that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, the motor was. So you're talking about the pictures of the oil pan, probably, that had the 10 millimeter wrench in it.
Yes, that one. Yes. And the crunchies.
That came out of a different car. Yeah, it was filled with metal and it had a 10 mil wrench underneath the.
I thought that was you guys. Oh, that's a big difference. Okay.
No. He bought that extra, so we had a car pan to put back in it from him. And I thought originally it was taken off of that motor. And he's like, no, it was somewhere else. So
good. Because when you guys sent me the picture of the oil pan full of like sand and debris
and bearing material
and a 10 millimeter wrench.
An exploded motor was that wrapped around, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, this motor. I feel like on Sunday that it got faster. The damn bird got quicker. And we weren't alone in that because Matt went, I'm nervous at how well it's running now because it was doing this right before it blew up again. So
the clearance is all just lightened up just enough that it's real free.
So every second driver change, it would come in and we would check the oil just to make sure. Because
I can't remember if you mentioned that, like it had like 1/4 of oil Saturday night when it blew up, when it got back in the paddock in it.
And it was not smoking. There was no ventilation in that block. That block is going to get rebuilt and it's going to be awesome.
Well, we hope it's going to get rebuilt. There was chunks of bearing material about 1/4 inch in size down in the pan. It was pretty crunchy.
It's going to get cleaned very thoroughly at the very least.
So it was a mystery as to what happened to the oil, and something that is going to be a consideration for future efforts coming from the Failbird. She wrapped up as the party bird.
Right.
She finished. She took the checker. And then overall, I think it was faster on Sunday too. And then you mentioned running the course backwards. I don't know what it was. That unsettled me so much because I've driven Thunderhill a lot and I've never driven it backwards. And I was lost, coming over the blind crest. I dropped two wheels off. I rolled into the penalty box. Cause I'm like, shut it off. I'm not getting out of here anytime soon. And, Jay St. Clair had been behind me in that diesel GTI. And because he is a smart aleck, was FaceTiming with Kim and, told her as I was pulling into the penalty, hey, Mental's coming in. Don't worry. He only dropped two wheels. So I pulled in and Kim comes over and goes, you're fine. Jay already said you didn't take all four wheels off.
So I want to step back on that. Why was he FaceTiming in the car? Because people accused him of driving like a douchebag. So he FaceTimed his entire stint with Kim so that she could watch it live and prove that he wasn't driving like a douchebag on the track.
That's amazing. Yeah. I don't feel like that happens much. There's plenty of people that you get reports of, but actually watching your driving, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were just upset because it was an old Mark II Golf diesel
with a wide body kit on it and crazy shit, right?
And it's just stupid quick and it's well driven, and they're just mad because they're getting muscled by a diesel Volkswagen. And the only other diesel Volkswagen is the Don Gier guys out there in that Passat. So I pull it in, had a couple of really good battles, but there was just a few moments. One of the modifications that's been done to the Party Bird is it now has a cowl induction hood. So you're giving up about 3 inches of visibility over across about 2 feet. And there are going one way, there are two corners that you count and then you turn because you can't see anything but sky. Backwards, even more. There are just more corners where you're like, I think the road's here. Okay, here we go. It'll be fun.
Yeah, there was something about turn 9 going over the back of that hill backwards where you were coming up it and you're bombing up the hill and you could see the cone that you usually aim for coming the other way. And as soon as you started seeing it grow, because it was blind, you just roll into it and then you could see down and you just roll into the gas and do this giant four-wheel drift in this huge El Camino all the way over the top of the hill. And it goes thump and it sets and you just drive down the hill like it was very satisfying in many ways to me.
Exactly the opposite problem in the Failbird. It was absolutely terrifying.
Sketchy as hell.
You see 2 inches of this 5-foot-tall cone. You know you got to yank on it. If you mat it, even in fourth gear, it goes sideways on you. And then you
You're talking about turn five. I'm talking about turn nine, the other blind one on the other side, the top of the hill on the other side.
Oh, that one was... You get it pointed at a certain spot, then you lose complete visibility of it. Then the tall cone goes past you. You count the three and then turn the wheel and hope nobody spun out.
And hoping is not a great way to drive around a racetrack.
That's a great plan.
Hope is not a strategy.
Hope is not a plan. Correct. Especially when you race car driving.
You did have to kind of, you'd have to gauge as you would come out of the two 90 degree corners, like, okay, these cars going up the hill. Nope. They all kind of know what they're doing. All right. I'm not going to T-bone any of them. It'll be fine. But yes, there was just a, blind corner or, blind crest, one, two, three, and then you turn. And as you turn, the road would come into your field of vision and you would have it right. And then the next two corners, you could flat foot, but you really didn't want to because the slightest step out at the speed you were going, because you were winding out fourth gear coming through there. If you went off, because it had rained the entire week leading up to it, if you went off into that area, you were going over. Because you weren't going to be able to go off straight. You were going to go off at an angle, and the car was going to dig in.
At 105 miles an hour or whatever, because you were coming downhill on top of this, right? Usually charge up the hill. So it was pretty interesting.
It was unsettling. And then, coming back over the blind crest, that one... I never did get it right. And there was just a couple of times I'm like, oh God, don't wad up Matt's car.
I was passing people going up the hill on the right-hand side, like a total dick. And a couple of cars, I couldn't make the pass cleanly. I'm like, well, I'm going to pass you here and this is a bad move, but I will never see you if I can get past you here. And sure enough, that's exactly what I did. the side of that right side, right?
And you can sometimes be, especially you've got a reputation out there. You can get away with that if you just kind of stick the hand out the window like, sorry, I know that was a dick move.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, it's the El right? Camino. I want to be mad, but it's the El Camino and it's just so cool.
It's true.
Don't want to run into that car. It's big.
All right. So you ended the day with both cars running and drove onto the trailer.
Yep.
That's a great 100%. Way
to finish. That is a great time.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. And there, we've said it before, you do this to have fun, you do this, but there is something fun about driving a really, really fast car when you are not in contention. There's no pressure. You're just out there to absolutely enjoy the speed. If you find yourself coming up to a corner, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to let you guys sort this out because somebody in there is fighting for a position. And as soon as you guys get done, I'm just going to mat the throttle, get around all of you, wave as I go by. It reminded Corey when we drove the 6-liter BMW at Gingerman years ago. When the car wasn't in contention, but it was the fastest thing on the track.
Yeah, it was just miles per mile were amazing, right?
Yes. So, you go out there and you have fun. And even funnier, it was watching Mary get into the El Camino. Because I think it was like door frame, Mary's helmet.
And been there. Chin height. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she is not sparing anything. She is wheeling.
She's going for it. Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. She knew that she had to keep it going. She's like, I'm going to be slow first couple laps. I'm like, that's fine, but pick up the pace. I'll tell you when it's all good on the radio and then you can stay there. And she did.
She absolutely did. She wheeled that thing.
Well, that's great. Sounds like you guys had a great weekend. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was the whole thing was old school lemons, like Mental said, like just the whole paddock party and the attitudes, and it was a race I needed because I've been in the doldrums for a while, right? And then just to have like the whole atmosphere, the place to be buzzing and everybody having such a good time. It reminded me of I'll say the olden days when things were going good for me and I wasn't struggling and it seemed like most of the people in there were, and it was good. The potluck was good. the after hours activities were good with groups of people, you know, hanging out, moving around, even though it was a little chilly once the sun went down, but it was pretty, it was nice.
That's great.
I think that's because nobody was
without rain,
yeah,
too, which
nobody was trashed from it being 105 degrees like normal. So everybody, you know, like I got out of the car and I was barely sweating after an hour and a half.
That's great.
It was
that's
great.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
A lot of good veteran teams providing a lot of mentorship mm-hmm. to the new teams, and nobody was really being a wet blanket because nobody was getting out of control.
That's good. Wonderful.
That's okay. A great time.
Moving on.
It's time. Corey, I don't know if you're looking at the notes, but they're asking if, you know, you've been doing a lot of work on cars lately.
Any safety tips you might have in mind? Because I think really everyone wants just a tip from Corey. All right, we'll give you a second while we intro. It's time for
just the
tip. All right. Yep. So I will go off a recent experience yesterday, something that I learned the hard way that I'll share with everybody else, that when replacing valve springs on cylinder heads, wear mechanics gloves because cylinder head edges are machined to a very sharp level, and my hands have 1,000 paper cuts on them from not wearing gloves. Just that where the valve cover seals and then where it seals to the head, those edges are really sharp on aluminum. And my hands have little paper cuts all over them from not wearing gloves.
And then did you go use some brake cleaner too?
To clean it out? Yeah.
Ow,
oh, yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. Ow. Ow. Okay, it's clean.
Ow.
Oh. One day soon.
Everything's clean now.
Yes.
Yes.
One day soon, Russian agents are going to kidnap Corey and they're going to do like the little bamboo things under the fingernails. And then they're going to rub salt in it. And he's going to go, is that really all you guys got? All right.
Lost feeling in my fingertips years ago from cleaning my hands with brake clean.
You amateurs. Oh, God.
Try harder, suckers.
Oh,
excellent.
There you go. Safety gear for a reason. Yes. Smart plans on that one.
Quick promo.
Quick promo. We have no idea what we're doing next week. So promo.
Promo. Make sure that you join our fantasy league. There were only 8 people signed up last time I looked at it, which may not have been today. FantasyGP.com. Go there. Sign up for the E1R league. I think it shows up if you, well, just join us. 742-59541 is what you have to type in. It'll be in the show notes. Go down there and find that code and join us.
Yes.
And you won't win anything. There's no money, but you can have lots of cred.
I made a video of how to do that, and Eric Peterson, Dead Pedal Racing, also got a hold of me. It's like, hey, are you guys doing your league again this year?
Oh, good.
So it's a great time. It's worth the trash talk. You should absolutely do it. And then if you are, well, the West Coast or East Coast, you guys will be watching the race at 10 a.m. right?
Yes.
Oh, or I don't know if you
that's
guys
the time the race is on. I don't know if we're going to be able to watch it live.
You can watch it live. I can't. I gotta work all day. So I can't.
Ooh.
I can't. Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, yep. We're going to have a watch party, and it might literally just be me and Tim Burr.
Well,
pounding
Chris
shots.
Can, so
yeah, pounding shots at 7 a.m.
Ooh. Okay.
Godspeed, gentlemen.
So much fun. And then at 10 a.m. you're trash and both of your wives are going to be like, what are we doing now? Because now you have nothing to know.
Naps.
A drug
Naps
mental.
Is what doing
Tim's got a good out. He can't do any yard work because it's going to be raining like hell until Tuesday out here. So no outdoor work. Oh, no.
And
he does have a Corvette he needs to put back together, though.
I'm going to be watching it at the Circa Casino, which is where we
hosted.
So you
just going to have to figure out how to get home.
So, yeah. So Vicky will be doing her thing. And so it goes shot, 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 shot. And then, as Corey said, nap, 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 nap.
A big fat nap.
Join us. That'll be on our social medias. We'll post all that kind of stuff up. It'll be a good time if you care.
Corey, thanks for joining us.
Most. Absolutely.
Thanks for having me again.
Always great to
Corey,
have you,
as always, thanks for a great weekend. Love being out there with you guys.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I hope that my Lemons weekends like this stay together for at least a year.
We all do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Corey, for being here, and thanks for downloading us, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Everyone Racers. Also hope you're going to join us all in the world of driving, racing, and building, because everyone can be a racer, even the guy who left the 10 millimeter in the oil pan. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe, totally free. Go to iTunes, give us that 5-star rating. Even if you don't like being passed by Firebirds at 130, give us 5 stars and tell us why. Questions, comments, show ideas, emotional outbursts, tech tips, brake clean stories, drop us a line. Everyone Racers on all of the social medias, or everyone.racers@gmail.com. Text mental pictures of your junk, 484-243-0455. And that's about it. So thanks again, everybody. Until next week, keep the rusty El Camino side up. And really, there is no shiny side. So just keep it rolling.